Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. I'm joined by Will. Hello.
What's up, VGN?
We're going to talk about Ubisoft today. They had their Ubisoft Forward event, and they announced a very limited amount of things.
Pretty much they announced everything we already knew about.
Yeah.
Just more information.
Yeah, so we'll chat about that today, and of course we'll get into our Patreon-only thing coming up here. So if you guys want to hear Patreon only stuff, we release one every week for the Patreons. Visit patreon.com/videogamesnow. Check out our tier levels, and for as low as $5 a month, you can become a Patreon and get exclusive access to lots of things. All right, let's get into it. That's all coming up right now. Right now. Right now. All right, everyone. Welcome to the show. So we have Monsieur Will, who's the expert on news. Can we call you an expert?
You can. There hasn't been much news this year, so I haven't really been able to show like what I'm capable of.
Well, and you also haven't really been on the podcast a whole lot this year.
Yeah, I've been on
everyone for the last because of COVID. But anyways, okay, so. First, let's get to our gaming releases of the week, and we'll get right into that.
All right, so we got a few low-budget things that we talked about last week, but going right off the bat, we have Ghost of Tsushima and Paper Mario the Origami King releasing on the July 17th.
So, we already discussed this last week. I'm going to get Paper Mario, and you'll get Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've already pre-ordered it. Deluxe edition. But not, like, the collector's edition. Only, like, an extra $10. Like, and it was digital, so.
Will, you're going to be expecting that, like, limited edition fucking thing in the mail. It's just not going to come.
No, this one just gave me a couple cosmetic things and the soundtrack, which I'm kind of excited for. The music sounds like it'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's. So, just in the Patreon thing, we were talking about Fairy Tail, and the anime, and how much it's great. That. I've never cried so much during a fucking anime before, dude. I cried, like, every fucking episode, I swear to God. That fucking show just knows how to pull the right strings.
Yeah, I will admit to that, actually. I don't think there's too many animes that I've cried to.
Oh, no, the music in that show is so good.
It's that, but it's sad, too. Like, it's depressing. Like, it'll bounce up really nicely, mm-hmm. but then it comes down really soft.
Yeah.
And you're like, it just hits your emotion.
Yeah, the music, and then the voice acting, too, is actually, like, both the Japanese and the English are really good. It's like, oh, fuck, dude. So, anyways. Yeah,
I'm really hoping Ghost of Tsushima does something for me there. From what I've seen, the story looks really intriguing. And from what we've seen, that's a film term, cinematography.
You can use that in a game.
It can still work? Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it just looks breathtaking. Like, the environment they've created, this whole world, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the music, too. I'm taking a look at another game. Skyward Sword, the end of Skyward Sword, the music. Like, dude, I fucking cried so hard. The end of Skyward Sword.
I only played Skyward Sword through once, and I'm trying to remember the music, unfortunately. But it was a good game.
Yes. Well, spoiler alert. Because, okay, let's be real. If you wanted to play Skyward Sword, you would have played it by now. And the people who don't want to play Skyward Sword are just, like, hung up on the reviews.
Can you even find it now?
Probably.
It's not on the store, and if you don't have a Wii, you're kind of...
Well, you can play it on Wii U.
True.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it in a couple years.
But anyway, spoiler alert. So, Fi, the spirit of the sword, gets, like, sealed away at the end of the game. And there's just this, like, tender moment, because, like, Fi can't comprehend emotions, or, like, she's basically a robot, essentially. And yeah, it's just this, like, tender moment of her, like, trying to express emotions on how much she's gonna miss Link, and it's, like, the fucking music, dude.
It was sad. I do remember that part.
Oh! Yeah. So yeah. Good. I'm a straight-up bitch when I watch fucking emotional shit.
I'm not gonna lie, and I've said it before, like, I remember going to a movie, what was it? Oh, Walk to Remember with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
When it first came out. I think I cried more than my girlfriend at the time.
Dude, I have not really cried during, like, movies, like, actual, like, live action stuff. I only really cried during games and anime, so I think that's saying something. Like, I think they just create a more organic character and an organic soundtrack, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know.
They do. I'm not going to lie there. I've definitely cried during animes and games more, but A Walk to Remember, like, that made me realize I'm an emotional person. Like, the end of the movie just broke me, man. Like, I had to use the rest of the napkins from the, like, the buttery popcorn to get my tears before we walked out of the theater. My eyes were red. She's like, are you okay? I'm like...
Oh, man. You're, like, reaching in her purse and grabbing, like, wipes, like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, man. It was bad. And I think I was only, like, 13, 14 when it came out.
It's funny. All right, back to actual games. I'm not going to say this. I didn't know about the leak 3 days ago, but Far Cry 6, yep. Was shown a trailer, and fuck, that trailer's good. It was pretty impactful, and I noticed right away it's the dude from Breaking Bad. I can't remember. Yeah. I don't know his real name.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah. So, fuck, that was a powerful trailer, and it makes me wonder what possibly, like, what the game's gonna hold now. Like, obviously, you're gonna be in Mexico.
Is that, like, Mexico? It's somewhere Latin America. I know that much.
It looked like, just the way the color temperature is, like, you can fucking tell. In every game and movie, Mexico's fucking yellow. It's super annoying. So yeah, I think it's in Mexico. I don't know if it says. Let's actually look. Far Cry 6. It's gonna get released in February 2021.
Yeah.
And, actually, the Far Cry 5, I think, got released in March 2018 or something?
Yeah, so it's around the same time.
Good, perfect. Alright, so yeah, officially...
It was dark, too, though. Like, what fucking father hands a grenade to their son?
I know, right?
Like, that's bad parenting right there, 101.
Yeah.
Ride and take note.
Yeah, totally. Far Cry 6 has been officially revealed for a February 18th, 2021 release date, and it's coming to the Xbox Series X, Xbox One, PS5, and 4, Stadia, and PC. Free upgrades will be available for the PS5 for PS4 owners and Xbox Series X for Xbox One owners. After a leak this week, Ubisoft showed off the game's intro video and a cutscene introducing us to Anton Castellos, played by Breaking Bad's, how do you say it?
Giancarlo Esposito.
Thanks. And his son Diego, who's preparing for leadership of the totalitarian island state of Yara. Players will take on the role of Danny Rojas.
I think it's Rojas.
Okay, I can't say anything.
The J, I think, is silent, but it's weird. We never got to see him. Our first trailer, and we have not seen the protagonist.
Mm-hmm. So, Incidentally, we get to speak to Buddy, who explains the backstory of a character he created, as well as the country that they rule. So, I don't know what you could be doing in this game. Obviously, you're going to be liberating somebody or something.
I think it's the whole country.
You think so?
It looks like the civilians are fighting against their own president, so he's definitely a tyrant.
Yeah, totally. I really liked Far Cry 5. I can't get into New Dawn. There's just something about it that just feels totally stupid.
I play it and I put it down. I just can't. I do like one little mission and that's it. It's just the story doesn't work for me for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was hooked immediately. Like, with this real trailer, I was hooked like immediately. So I'm quite excited for Far Cry 6.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Far Cry 6 is set on an island nation inspired by Cuba.
Okay.
Yeah. Just look that up.
Perfect. Okay. So
I guess they're basing this off of Cuba. Interesting.
Okay. Great. So this is developed by Ubisoft Toronto. It's the first time the studio has led a Far Cry game, and it'll take place across Yar, including the capital city Esperanza, an unusually urban setting for the series. The game will see the return of the fangs for hire, including Chorizo, the cutest wiener dog on wheels. What do you think about that?
Oh, that was from 5, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. It did work. It didn't work in New Dawn.
I think we gotta see some changes, I think, for sure. In New Dawn, like, you could only have one gun for hire. Like, in 5, there was one gun for hire until you got the perk to get two guns for hire. Maybe that was too OP, because it kind of was. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty...
Yeah, but if you're going to play the game on, like, the hardest difficulty or something, then you definitely need it.
That's true, yeah. And the AI in New Dawn was fucking dumb compared to 5, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. I've only played a bit of 5 because you did buy it for me. I should finish it, but I found New Dawn was a lot... It felt like rushed. They just... You know, everyone didn't really like how 5 ended, and they're like, oh, let's give it a closing story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Add to it.
Like, yeah, it didn't work for me, personally. I didn't like the ending of 5 because it felt a bit like anime. Not satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was saying before we went live, like, fucking name an anime where you're satisfied at the end, and you can't.
It's a problem with games, too. A lot of... How many games are you fully satisfied after you complete it? Like, there's always something you feel like you're missing or they could have done better.
Honestly, I was pretty fucking happy with the end of Halo 4.
Yeah, Halo 4 was good.
Yeah, it was...
Story ended, and beating it on Legendary, you get that cutscene with Chief back on Earth getting his armor taken off. Like,
yeah.
That, like, was worthwhile. Like, that was something to grind for.
Yeah, it gave you the satisfaction of completing the game, and, like, it felt good, but it did leave... It still left a little bit of I want more trace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got 5.
And then you got... Yeah, dude.
Series.
Yeah, totally. So... hopefully on the 23rd, Microsoft will show off a bit more of 6, which is not the highlight of today's podcast, but we'll talk a little bit about it. They're supposed to be focusing on the campaign, you said.
Yeah, campaign only. They're not going to show us any multiplayer at the moment, so...
That's fine. The multiplayer's...
As long as they keep the multiplayer kind of similar, I think with 5, they try to change a few things too much.
Like, quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, they went around like the COD style, where I think they have to go back to what made Halo fun, which was the couch co-op and
the like. What they did was kind of unique, but it's just the way they presented it and the way they kind of shoved it all in there. And they're like, "Here, it's Halo," and we're like, "Well, no, this kind of feels like a new game."
Yeah,
you know, yeah. Halo 4 was different, like the multiplayer. But everyone, like, accepted it. They're like, okay, no, this... It's still Halo. It's just a bit different.
5 wasn't.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's Far Cry 6. let's move on here. So next thing on the list here was more gameplay from Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Thanks. I always fuck that up. I was saying it. I'm like, I didn't fuck it up, right? Oh, I didn't know
where you were going. It was either like Van Helsing or like, what's that?
That'd be an interesting Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed and Van Helsing would be interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Now we got like werewolves, vampires.
What if you could choose?
That could work. That would be actually kind of interesting. Oh, man. We should work for a game company.
Dude, I know. Like, our podcast is fucking gold.
That would work for a monster-like game. That would be actually sick.
Yeah. You get to choose whether you're a werewolf or a vampire, and then you got to fight for the werewolves or the vampire. Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like Beowulf, doesn't it?
It does, actually.
Shit. Okay. We're a little late on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so they showed off new gameplay for Valhalla.
Valhalla.
And there was some interesting stuff in this game that I didn't realize was being worked on. So I'm just going to play the trailer slowly in the background so I can talk about the stuff I saw. First of all, the naval stuff's returning. So you're basically in Old England, and you're going to be conquering different portions of England with your crew on the boat. So what were your initial thoughts, Will?
I thought I'm going to start it out. You know, I just thought, okay, here we go. We have naval combat, right?
Yeah.
But then he said, and then we have another aspect that I want to show you, which is the raid. I'm like, oh. So I look back at the screen, you know, intrigued. Like, what is a raid? And while you're on the ship, if you see something like a small village or something, you can literally raid it. That is cool.
That is cool. But what if you want to be a good person and not raid? I guess you wouldn't be a Viking.
I don't know. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
It looks like they're making choices are going to have an effect in this game as well.
Yeah. Okay. And then all throughout raiding all these villages and sometimes big towns, you're going to be building up your own
settlement.
Yeah. So basically, it was exactly how we were talking about when we did the Valhalla podcast before, which was, you start off with something super small, and the more you upgrade it, the better weapons you get and the better stuff you can buy and all that kind of stuff. So that to me is kind of annoying, because I mean, I'm even just thinking about like New Dawn or State of Decay 2, like stuff where you're consistently enhancing your base to get better stuff, and that kind of diminishes the need to like explore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think it could work with Valhalla, because while you grow your settlement, you get access to getting like new people into your crew.
That's right. So in your base, you have a map room or whatever the hell they called it, and so it gives you access to, I'm assuming, the whole map. It's going to be like fully available to you from the start. I don't know if it's going to be based off a level system like it was in Origins or in Odyssey. But
yeah, well, Odyssey did a little different. Origins, remember, you couldn't even go to that area, where in Origins you could.
You could. You just get totally freaking destroyed by everything.
Yeah, Odyssey still would get destroyed as well, but there was ways around it with a lot of like the abilities they gave you.
Yeah,
like I remember being level 30 and I killed a couple of level 50s.
Honestly, if you manage to kill somebody that's above your current level, you should get way more experience.
Oh, I agree. I don't know if you went after it, but did you go after Poseidon's spear?
I don't think I did. I haven't finished the DLC for Odyssey.
Oh, this was just in the normal story.
Oh, okay.
So on the far top right, there's a tiny little island, and the only thing on it are lions. But these lions are like max level, like they will fuck your day. But there's like some pillars you can hide on and just shoot arrows at them, and then when they come over to you, you just assassinate them, which takes like a quarter of their health. You climb the pillar and then restart the cycle.
Jeez.
I think I was level 25 and I wanted this spear mainly because it allowed you to breathe underwater.
Oh shit, okay. No, yeah. I did not get that. I remember I was streaming Assassin's Creed Odyssey and I found the Cyclops den, and you're like, you're gonna die, and I'm like, I want to see what's happening. You're like, no, you're going to fucking die. And then the Cyclops walks out and just one hits me. I'm like, oh, fuck.
I told you you were going to die.
Yeah. I went back and beat him, but fuck, that was a tough fight. There was one more, one of like the Greek mythological beasts.
Medusa.
Or whatever. No, it wasn't Medusa. There was another one. And I think he had like a legendary, double-edged axe, which is what I wielded. And I can't remember.
Was it the Minotaur?
It was the Minotaur. That's right. And yeah, that was super fun, dude. Like, I really enjoyed going after like the mythical beasts and getting like legendary stuff from it.
I hope they bring that back for this. It could work with Norse mythology. You could have like the Jotun, the frost giants.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they had some hints of fighting like kind of boss animals, so I'm sure they're going to bring something like that back.
Yeah, I definitely, if you watch like every, and I tell everyone to check out this some of the gameplay if you're an Assassin's Creed fan. Did you see that fist fight with like that like bear-sized wolf?
Yes.
That was pretty good. Like, who's going to fist fight a wolf the size of a bear? This brings back like Game of Thrones style, like with the ghost.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, just moving along in the video. The graphics honestly didn't impress me. Like, if this was in-game footage, and the graphics don't look any better than on Odyssey, and it's supposed to be on the new console, right?
Yeah, but they might not have shown us it on a new console. That's the thing. They never said what it was being broadcast on, right?
I guess, yeah. So what I really like is when you're doing raids, going back to raids, when you got off your ship on Origins, your fucking dudes would just kind of chill out on the boat and not do anything. But it looks like your entire crew on the boat get off and start running in towards the village that you're raiding. So
they've been given AI. Yeah.
Exactly. So that excites me. So now, how do you control your troops? Like, you know?
I don't know. They might. It could just be random where they go in there and stuff, but it says you do have to keep, not keep control, but look after them, because in the trailer, if you watch, one of them gets downed and you have to revive them.
Yikes. Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool, yeah.
A new mechanic to kind of put in there, right? So you want to make sure everyone survives your raid.
Yeah. Speaking of new mechanic, it seems like there's a few new things to do in terms of combat. There's stun attacks. So you can stun somebody and keep them away, or you can finish them off. And there's a couple new abilities on the ability tree as well, which seem very interesting. The finishing moves are fucking grotesque. Holy shit.
Like, oh, yeah.
I mean, Vikings are savage, so
always,
you know, it kind of makes sense. But yeah, you know, like, you're spearing a guy in the throat and then wrapping the chain around his head and then fucking decapitating him, like, fuck, dude. So yeah, throughout the game you're kind of building up allies as well. So the map on the map table looked kind of small, actually, compared to Odyssey.
The map might look small, but the regions might be big. That's the thing, right? Like, this is England.
Right.
Well, this is pre-England. This is, like, early England, right? So this is, like, during the reign of King Edward and stuff like that.
Right.
As you can see Edward in the trailer.
Well, if it's based in England, like, in retrospect to ancient Greece, like, that England's pretty small. Like, the island... The United Kingdom Island is pretty small compared to ancient Greece.
Yeah.
So
I think there's going to be other locations. They're just not ready to tell you.
Yeah, fair. All right, so they also talked about there's five different kind of enemy types. So it keeps it kind of kind of fresh every time you're fighting somebody. Some will use, like, someone will throw dead corpses at you, some will throw objects at you, some will, you like, hold you down while their two teammates attack you, like, shit like that.
That one I'm not looking forward to finding out.
Yeah.
That double team attack, like, took a good chunk of the character's health.
Yeah. So, oh well, it'll keep it fresh. I played on hard mode for Odyssey, and I actually had fun playing on hard mode.
I did too. There is a couple fights though, like they whooped me and I had to come back, especially like some of those the outposts or whatever they're called.
Yeah,
like some of them were hard, I'm not gonna lie, and you gotta admit, like, a few of those sucked.
Well, once I leveled up my assassinating, like critical assassination and shit, like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it was good times. It was easier for me to Spartan kick them off and then kill them that way, but once you hit, like, level 30, like, your Spartan kicks didn't fucking work on anybody.
Yeah, they were immune to it.
Yeah.
And you ran into people that would, like, dodge arrows.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that was annoying. And I think with this one, it's gonna be even more annoying to deal with, like, in Odyssey, you had the naval battles, and you had, like, the, mercenary board, so like a mercenary would attack you that's basically equal to your level and you would still lose like super easy, and you're like, fuck man, like it was just, I found the naval fighting in Odyssey super frustrating.
Yeah, I kind of hope the mercenary thing actually makes a return for Valhalla.
Yeah, it was
kind of cool. I remember doing like a freaking fort and all of a sudden like there's a mercenary in there with me and I'm like, god damn it.
But what was annoying about that is aren't the mercenaries fighting each other? You know?
Because they're after you, I think.
No, I know. I know you have a bounty, but it's like, if there's another mercenary there and he needs to kill him to get to the next tier of mercenary, like, mm-hmm. there was no conflict between the mercenaries except everybody wanted to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just nitpicking the fucking game because there's a new one coming out. But the game is really good.
Yeah.
That was a long campaign, too, I remember.
Oh, it was. And even if you didn't do all the side quests, it was long. And I don't even think I finished all the side quests. Did you?
No, I skipped some of them for sure. But I got all the legendary animals. Like, I finished all the actually exciting stuff. So, like, I climbed up the mercenary thing to the top, not including the, what do you call it? There's, like, if you're the number one mercenary in Greece, it, like, unlocks further people that are better than you in on the mercenary line.
Yeah, that was later on, before all you got was the flaming horse.
Yeah,
which was still kind of cool.
Yeah. And what else was there? Yeah, the legendary animals I did. That was kind of it, really.
What was the hardest legendary animal you took on?
Fucking boar.
Yeah, the one with the poison.
The poison gas. Fuck,
that
the boar
thing
dude.
Go fuck itself, man.
So bad.
We're both with that one.
Yeah, that one was the most annoying. I had to use a bunch of fire attacks to kill it.
Yeah.
And the other ones were fun, actually. The bear was kind of fun. It was hard, but fun.
The lion
was fun. Yeah, the rest of them were fine. It was just the boar was an asshole.
The funny thing is, the very first one actually gave me trouble, too. The original pig.
Yeah.
Because it had all the babies.
Yeah.
So while you're trying to do damage, you kill all the babies, and then all of a sudden they spawn more.
I had one attack that I think, it didn't do, it wasn't like an AoE attack, but like it damaged stuff still. Like it did the main damage to whoever you were targeting, and then it also did secondary damage to other people around you. And I remember using that attack to help clear out some of the babies.
Okay, because when I first did that, like, because you could do that really early in the game, I think I was really low level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, even the babies almost took my health.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just continuing to watch the video here. So you can actually dual wield any two weapons in the game.
Yeah, even shields.
Yeah, dual wield shields sounds kind of fucking gross.
It looked pretty fun, though. Like it was like Captain America, but like times two.
Yeah.
Like the trailer shows the female Ivor literally just smacking people.
Yeah. So, yeah, oh yeah. The fighting is so grotesque. It's great. But, yeah, so double shields, I might give that a try. Because your defense would go up significantly, but it would probably take longer to actually kill people.
I don't know. Shields could still do a good amount of damage for concussion, like stun and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to see how like they work those new mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now moving on to the stealth portions of the game. It looks like they've kind of leveled up the stealth, because I found in Odyssey, like, it doesn't matter how fucking stealthy you were, like, you were always spotted, you know?
Yeah, I think they've gone back to, like, the original Assassin's Creed. Like, you know, you put your hood on, you walk in a crowd, no one fucking sees you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they kind of got rid of that. They had a little bit of that in Origins, but I felt like in Odyssey, like, you...
They didn't have it at all, because you were literally wearing different armor styles every time, right?
So yeah.
It just didn't have a very good stealth aspect other than the bushes.
Yeah, bushes and what else? Yeah, you can blend in with people. Yeah, it just looks like it's a bit more of a... You can play a bit more of a stealth game, which every time you tried to do that in Origins, or in Odyssey, you would fucking die.
Yeah, because in the new trailer, you can see the Ivor when she's in the city after she blends in. And she's still blending, but it looks like she's making bread.
Yeah. And in Odyssey, if you did happen to kill everybody or whatever, you'd get an undetected bonus. But it's like, I rarely got that ever. Because it's just so hard to fucking stealth away.
Yeah, they'd find a body.
Yeah, they'd find a body or
it
like...
It didn't matter. You had to hide everything you kill.
Yeah. You'd shoot one guy with an arrow. And they'd be like, oh, they're in that bush. Like, it's like, fuck. Like, you can't win.
Yeah, like, how do you know the arrow came from that bush?
Yeah. Okay, so the next thing is assault. So you can actually take on forts with your crew and kind of assault, like, a fortress. So kind of think of, like, Shadow of War kind of assault.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. It looks like the very same mechanics.
Again, I wish you could come up with a bit of a strategy. Like, it's like, okay, here's the fortress. This group attacks this gate. This group attacks this gate. Whatever, these people. I wish you could strategize
could
just a little
bit. There could be different ways. There could be. They didn't really give us a full look at the fortress, takedown.
Yeah.
Like, there could be, like, what if, you know, if one's by the water, there could be a well or something you can go into.
Yeah, totally.
You could open the gate, the first gate, and wait till night, open the gate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, now you have all your guys in there without noticing you.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
So, another thing to think about is, are you going to have to defend your settlement?
Kind of hope so, actually. That would be cool. You know, periodically there could be like a thing, a war is coming or someone's going to attack, so you have to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare defenses. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and then you'd have to leave a couple crew members behind to protect the village kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to choose. So like in Odyssey, you could recruit lieutenants for your ship, right? So maybe you can do that again and then assign them to protect your village.
I think that would be cool, especially like if you find like some bosses or something that aren't too bad, you can recruit them, but now they're no longer a boss, right? And you leave them in your village.
You leave the fucking wolf bear thing in your fucking village.
That
you
could
imagine?
Work.
Oh, that'd be funny.
In Origins though, you could there was a pet mechanic, wasn't there? You couldn't recruit like legendary animals or anything, but you could have like a wolf or a bear, I'm pretty sure.
I kind of vaguely remember that, yeah.
I never used it, though, because it was up the skill line and, like, an opposite side.
Mm-hmm. So they do tease in this trailer the, like, there's lots of little hidden things to find, right? Lots of little hidden Norse mythology type things to find, so.
That'll do side quests as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm hoping that this is going to be exactly what we're hoping for in a game, so.
Yeah, well, the last two Assassin's Creed haven't really let me down. As much as, like, Origins kind of changed the series, and I had a few problems with it, I still greatly enjoyed it, and Odyssey just upped the bar.
They made it truly open world, and I think that's what was...
Made the game way better.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that it's... Like, all the Assassin's Creeds were based off of past events, but it's like... They really went all in terms of, like, ancient Egypt, ancient Greece, and now ancient Viking mythology. Like, it's just insane.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And, like, they do a lot of research, too. Like, during the trailer, you saw that they actually went in, was it Sweden or Denmark? I can't remember. But they were like looking up Vikings. Like they wanted to get the story and their characters right.
Yeah, like I remember when I was playing Black Flag, they had this same thing with all the, like, they had famous pirates in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yeah, that's what I love about Assassin's Creed. It's just like they actually care so much about making it authentic and making kids pass their history classes by just playing Assassin's Creed, essentially.
Black Flag was a little different because you were pretty much a heartless pirate.
Mm-hmm. Well, here you're going to be a fucking savage Viking, so, you know.
Vikings have a reason for their savagery, though, right? Like, mm-hmm. they're always just trying to expand their community.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that wraps up Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
It's out when?
It's out November 17th on the 1, the 4, PC, and Stadia.
And then next-gen consoles will get a free upgrade.
Yeah, but it, they didn't offer the release date on those systems, though.
No.
Okay, so last podcast, we talked about a new battle royale from Ubisoft called Hyperscape. Today, they released a story trailer, and we're not really sure whether that's a story mode trailer or just backstory on why you're playing the battle royale, which who cares, right?
Yeah.
I pitched this to Will before we started recording. I think it would be interesting, and you guys can let us know on our Discord or on our Facebook page or wherever you guys are most comfortable chatting to us with what you think of this idea. But I think it would be interesting to have if you could have a story mode in the battle royale, but you couldn't progress until you won a game or won the next game or whatever, and it would basically continue to ramp up in difficulty, because if you haven't won a game yet, you're going to be put in a lobby with people who haven't won a game yet. Maybe they're not good, whatever, right? And I think that would help drive people to get better at battle royale games. So yeah, basically you win a game and then the story can progress and you get another like maybe 10 hours of story type stuff while still playing the battle royale, and you got to collect stuff in the game. I think it would just be a bit more of an interesting take on a battle royale rather than just jumping from fucking a plane or whatever and just killing everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of losing my battle royale.
Well, we got there a while ago with Fortnite. Like, we were so Fortnited out. I'm still Fortnited out. Like, don't want to touch that game ever again.
And there's Apex. Well, Apex isn't really a battle royal per se. It's kind of a little different. I consider Apex more like, what's that other game from Blizzard?
I know the game.
That does the
Overwatch.
Overwatch, thank you.
I knew.
Apex reminds me more of Overwatch, but there is so many battle royals. But you always hear, like, a lot of them don't really do that well.
Well, it's
a hard market to make a successful game.
Yeah, because there's it. Yeah, exactly. Like Fortnite pushed. I mean, PUBG came out first, but Fortnite made it unique to them, and that's why it was so fun. And that's what you basically got to do when you release a battle royale. So, like, Warzone is fun because it's unique to Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Apex Legends is fun because it's unique in its own way as well. But this new one has a couple of unique things. I'm actually downloading the game right now, and I'm going to try it out whenever I can. And so it's unique to itself. So I think that's the goal, is you got to find a way to uniquely kill everybody in the lobby and get a win, essentially.
Yeah, and this one's adding a lot of different abilities like we touched on last week, right? So
yeah. But yeah, I'll play it, and maybe I'll make a video. I don't know. I haven't made a video for a while. It's been a hot minute.
Mm-hmm. This is completely different for Ubisoft as well, because they're not really known for their multiplayer games. Well, they are, but it's like after their story, right? Mm-hmm. So this is literally just multiplayer.
Yeah. So that's Hyperscape. We talked about it last week, so we won't spend too much time on it. All you need to know now, it's available in open beta, starting July 12th, which is today when we're recording the podcast. Alongside that, they confirmed a new weapon, new hack, and a new 30-tier battle pass that has been added to the game. So It's available on everything, and it's cross-platform. I don't know if it's cross-platform right now. They weren't really clear on that, but they said it will have cross-play and cross-play.
Yeah, it's only on PC right now. But
yeah.
It is coming to consoles somewhere down the line once it probably gets out of beta stage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on. I don't know if this bit was announced or whatever because I didn't actually watch the Ubisoft thing, but Watch Dogs Legion was...
This has been announced a couple years ago.
Okay.
It was supposed to come out last year, and then it got delayed because they wanted to fix the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Ubisoft had a rough year. Was it last year or something? I can't remember what they released, but remember their sales weren't good, and then they decided to just pull everything and rework it. The one game we haven't seen in a while, Skull and Bones.
Yes.
It's supposed to still be in development, but where is it?
Man, that's been in development for like fucking 3 years, 4 years.
I know. I think it'd be a good title, though, for next gen.
Yeah, I can agree with that, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, go ahead, sorry.
Have you played any of the Watch Dogs games?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so 2 wasn't the greatest. If you ever get the chance to play 1, though, it is kind of cool. I enjoyed the story. And I think it's on Game Pass, but you might have to double check for me.
Okay.
But that one, you have one character to control, right? Just your main protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
This game is completely different. You have the world as your protagonist.
That's interesting. Okay, so I'm just looking up whether it's on the Battle Pass or not.
Battle Pass.
Or, I'm sorry, what's it called?
Watch Dogs with the Game Pass.
Game Pass, that's right.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs 2 is not available on the Game Pass.
Is the first one?
The second one is not available on the Game Pass. But you can, I think you can get 1 on the Game Pass. Watch Dogs 1.
Yeah, if you can, then check it out. Because that was an interesting game. You literally hack the city. So, you know, if you have cops chasing you,
mm-hmm.
you could change the lights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You
okay.
caused some really nasty accidents.
yeah, it looks like something I'd be interested in, actually. So maybe we'll check it out. Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of, last week we were talking about Fable, like, for the whole podcast.
Yeah, I'm thinking of giving it a playthrough.
I started giving it a playthrough, and holy fuck, the movement's clunky for the first one.
Dude, you're going back to 2001.
I know. Yes, it's super clunky. And when I was younger, I didn't have a Game Boy Color, even though I really, really wanted one. I didn't have a Game Boy Advance. It's not until like Game Boy Advance SP is when I finally got my own Game Boy.
Yeah.
And same with the Xbox. I didn't have the original Xbox, and I really, really wanted one. But so whenever I would go over to a friend's house or I'd ride the bus home from school or something, I would ask my friend, hey, can I borrow your Game Boy, or can I start a new game on Fable? And I would play the beginning because I didn't want to go and start playing somebody's game file, right? It just doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't save, obviously, if it was playing like a new Pokemon file. Like, I probably started Pokemon Ruby like 30 times. And I would, like, try to get to the first gym. I would try to grind my way to the first gym. And then I finally got a Game Boy Advance SP and got Pokemon Ruby. I was like, fuck, dude, I'm so stoked.
One thing the older games struggled with is, like, for especially Pokemon, you could not have more than one game file.
Yeah, totally.
So for, you know, like, I was an only child, but imagine, like, back in the day, say you and your brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your parents bought you... one Game Boy to share,
mm-hmm.
and Pokemon Red.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, exactly. We actually had to explain that to our parents because they didn't understand that either. We're like, no, you can only have one game per game.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay. But yeah, so I played the opening for Fable like so many fucking times. So like the other day when I went back to play Fable 1, all the dialogue that was happening was like triggering, like, fuck, I gotta listen to this again. So yeah, because you start Fable 1 and you have to do like 3 good deeds to get 3 pieces of gold to buy a birthday present for your sister. And the first person you run into is this little girl who lost her doll Rosie. I can't find her. It's like, oh my fucking god. I remember this and I'm just pissing me off. And then you gotta go beat up a bully and it's like, oh.
Yeah, because isn't that girl, when you go back years later, isn't that girl like a woman now? And she's like, you were the one that helped me find Rosie.
Oh, I haven't gotten there yet. I got kind of bored, I'm not gonna lie. I think maybe because it's an old game.
You played it. Okay, I don't know about you, but with the original Fable, I have probably played it like 5 or 6 times.
Through, so
it's
going
to be completely through.
Okay.
Even the expansion. So it's going to be very hard for me to go back and actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
It'll be more of just like reminiscing and hoping that they announce Fable 4 in like a week.
Yeah.
If not, I'm going to be writing Phil Spencer a very long message.
Like, Reggie Fils-Aimé is going to come kick your ass.
At least they know what they want, like the fans want. Like,
yeah.
It seems like Microsoft just gives you like what they think is going to be successful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're always criticizing Microsoft for not having unique IPs, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's like people want a Fable 4.
They have to go back to the ones that made their system.
Yeah.
They have so many good original Xbox titles that would be great to bring back.
Yeah, totally. All right.
Back to Watch Dogs, though.
I don't have anything to say about Watch Dogs.
In the first game, you had one protagonist. In this one, though, you can play literally anyone you see. So, basically, the city gets attacked by a terrorist, and the government brings in this new mercenary troop called Albion. Now, these guys are savage. Like, the head guy will do anything to like create a perfect city, even killing politicians and blaming it on like other people, as you could see in the trailer.
Right.
Yeah. But instead of having one person, literally depending on your choices and how you interact with people, you can literally bring anyone else into your fold. So say you're playing as like a construction worker, right? You could go and literally recruit an Albion soldier to your cause if you interact with them or he or she properly.
Okay.
And that'll open up new ways. So instead of like attacking a fort, you could literally just walk right in.
Well, shit. All right.
But how they've changed this now is once your character dies, that character is dead.
Oh, permadeath in this
fucking
game.
Dead.
Nice.
Now you have to move to another character. And that's how they make it work. So you have to recruit people, right?
That brings me back to State of Decay. We had a permadeath system in that game, too.
Yeah, that hurt.
They're like, hey, fat dude, go with me. I'm like, I could literally do it faster myself, but sure, okay, whatever. And then he gets eaten, and I'm like, I don't even feel bad. I feel nothing.
I lost people, though, that I put time and money into.
Yeah. But that adds a bit of risk, and that's good, right?
Yeah, sort of. This is going to be the same way. So if, say, your favorite character gets killed, you're now going to have to move to someone else. But yeah. When I mean you can literally recruit anyone, in one of the older trailers, they had you as, like, a freaking granny. With a walker, and she beat the shit out of these guys.
Zombie, you had that permadeath, too, so you would get... If you got eaten by zombies, you would die, and then you'd start as a brand new person, and you had to go find your old zombie self and kill your old zombie self to get all your shit back.
Yeah, I remember that. That was tough.
I'm done with Watch Dogs, are you?
Yep.
All right, cool. So they announced that Brawlhalla will be coming to iOS and Android devices, announcing during its Ubisoft Forward event that mobile versions will feature crossplay and are set to be released on August 6th. I have not played Brawlhalla.
I haven't either.
So
it looks like just a quick 2D fighter.
Yeah. And then, good thing we saved the best for last. They announced Just Dance 2020, Eternal Paradise update. Yeah. You're like, Just Dance 2020 Season 3 will bring 3 new songs. I don't know if anyone listening to this podcast actually cares about it enough for us to talk about it.
I don't know how many people actually play Just Dance. Apparently it's a popular title, but none of my friends play.
I'm sure that it's a hit with the ladies. I don't know.
I have no idea, man. Like, I know when my friends and I used to get drunk before, for some reason, just to humiliate each other, we did karaoke.
See, that's what Rock Band was such a good fucking party game, though.
Yeah, it was.
It was so... But it's like, no one wants to carry around the hardware. That's the other issue now.
No. It's too clunky. Like, you got guitars, you got the mic, you got the freaking drum kit now. Like,
yeah, the drum kit was the worst. The guitar, you could get away with. Anywhere. But the drum kit was always a fucking annoyance.
So basically, once you bought the whole station, it was at your house.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on from Just Dance. We got The Crew 2.
Yeah, it's getting a new update.
Oh, it's an update.
It?
Sorry, I thought... it is out. it's out. So, The Crew 2 Summer in Hollywood update trailer. Previewing what's coming in August, including the flashy 80s update as part of the Summer in Hollywood, which will include legendary 80s cars like the DeLorean.
Good car.
I think the car is only good because it was in Back to the Future, though. You think?
Because it didn't sell.
Yeah, exactly.
And they never made the car after that, which I find funny because apparently they just announced they're remaking the car.
Oh, yeah?
For next year's market, I think.
What the hell's the 2021 version of the DeLorean going to look like?
Don't know. I'm trying, like, I know, I remember seeing a picture. Now I'm looking it up because I just want to see if it's going to make me laugh again. I don't even know how to spell DeLorean.
Yeah, I know. D-O-L-E-A... I'm done. Anyways, okay, so moving on from that, we have Trials Rising on Thursday, July 16th. I was like, wait, that already happened, but I'm totally thinking about the future. Rising will be getting the Giga Track, the longest track in Trials franchise history. It will be free to all players. And that's all IGN says about that. Next week...
Trials in a long time. It was basically the same thing I get on my phone.
Oh, yeah?
You just have, like, a motorbike or something like that, and you go over jumps, and you try to land on things, and, yeah.
Sounds exciting.
Mobile game.
All right, next is Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Receive a free title update on July 15th. Most notably, it'll add AI teammates to the game for the first time, letting solo players choose whether they want a squad of operators to play with, who will have the same abilities as player-controlled characters. Solo players will be able to give orders and customize the gear of AI teammates.
Cool. I've been looking forward to this one because I've been playing... I haven't even finished the game because I stopped because it got too hard. In Ghost Recon Wildlands, they had the AI.
Mm-hmm.
So you could play on the hardest difficulty and say, like, when you're scouting, you could be like get your guys to go into sniper positions, and you, as long as you're there too, right? You mm-hmm. could take out four guys at once.
Right.
Well, with Mark and my other friend, they never wanted to play in my world, which was like on the hardest difficulty because they got one shot because they just don't know how to like stay in cover and like right. play stealthily. They always want to rush in and kill everything, which you can't do. So this will probably bring me back to the game so I can finish it because I can play the game the way I want.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I just thought about Halo 5's campaign for a second, and then I'm like, you know what? We need to fucking finish our Halo playthrough.
Without 2.
We're skipping 2. Fuck 2. It's not worth it.
Yeah, 2's not worth it. Maybe, well, it depends if we both decide to get the new Xbox or not. The next Halo, we could do a full... like stream playthrough,
yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 leading up to the day of like the release of 6. We go pick up at 9 o'clock and then play for like 24 hours straight and die.
Well, if we digitally download it,
mm-hmm.
oh no, we can't because we need the new Xbox. Well, I'll have it on PC though.
Yeah, it was like.
We're taking a three-hour break to go...
Title. It's a launch title, like, yeah.
Yeah, we're taking a three-hour break on the stream to go buy Halo 6 and the new Xbox.
That wouldn't be too bad. Like, if you know where you're going, like, for me, it would be EB Games, right?
Yeah.
And they have their line, and they're pretty good. Like, I just get there early.
Well, you would just schmooze that super sexy EB lady that you got things
with. Oh, yeah,
with.
I would. And then I would literally front of the line, get in, get out, into my car, get home, set up the console, probably have to do a fucking update. You know what? That might not work.
Yeah, you're right. But I'll have it on PC, though.
Update. There's going to be a game update. You watch.
You got to install the game. Oh, yeah, right. Remember when you bought games and they just fucking worked?
Yeah, that doesn't work anymore. You actually have to install them to your hard drive. But for some reason, once they're installed to your hard drive, you still need the goddamn disc to play it.
Well, it's to prove you have the license for the game, but...
That's so stupid.
Why don't you just upload the license to the fucking cloud or some bullshit? Like, why the fuck do you need the disc? And then it just makes the disc totally obsolete, other than having...
Once I bought that game, why does it matter?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's so dumb. Anyways, okay. So yeah, AI teammates on Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Super cool. The update will add a new limited time event, Resistance, beginning on July 16th. The event will see players attempting to save prisoners, attack outposts, and stop convoys. Playing the event will unlock 14 new rewards available until July 29th. The update will also add Ghost War PvP content, including item drop functionality and community requested improvements.
Yay.
Okay, cool. That's it. That's
it.
That's how disappointing the Ubisoft thing was. But it took us an hour to talk about it.
Yeah, it ended with Yves Guillemot. He popped up on the end of the show. He's the Ubisoft CEO. He said there's going to be another Ubisoft Forward that will occur later this summer. And I'm hoping some of the games that weren't shown today, like Gods and Monsters, which kind of has a Zelda feel to it, and mm-hmm. Beyond Good and Evil 2, mm-hmm. will show up then.
Nice. Okay, awesome. Okay, well, that about wraps it up for the podcast today. Check out our website, videogamesnow.ca, to check out our content, videos, and podcast episodes. And if you haven't already, subscribe to our show on whatever you're listening to us on. Other than that, yeah,
we'll be back next week.
Someone on the Discord, actually, I think Jonathan Joestar said, have we done a podcast episode on the world records on games? Because he said he tied the world record for defeating Glass Joe in Punch-Out.
Oh, that's actually be an interesting one.
It would be.
Some of these world records are game-breaking, though. Like, I was watching... I've been playing Destiny 2.
Yep.
And they've added a new dungeon. Now, this dungeon's tough. Like, it took me an hour to beat it my first time.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, some guy, his team, did it in 8 minutes. Brand new world record. And I'm like,
jeez,
what the fuck? Like, he one-shot people that I fought for 5 minutes.
You know what I would be interested in watching is the world record for the 100% speedrun for Zelda Breath of the Wild. It took him 20 hours to 100% complete the game.
I don't know how he could do that. I just don't. But I've seen it. I know it exists. We should watch that video and talk about it.
I think I will watch like an hour a night or something. You know? So, anyways, yeah. So that's Jonathan Joestar. Apparently 42 seconds is the fastest you can possibly do it. Like, without taking any breaks or anything. So he basically has a world record. Jonathan on Discord if you want to chat with him.
Yeah. I'm definitely nowhere near that. I remember trying Punch-Out, and...
I remember buying the one for the Wii, the remake, and that was interesting. I fucking traded that shit in.
Yeah.
So, alright guys, anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Take care until then. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.